Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Y'all know that we had just a little hiccup. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. But we were right in the middle of that. And I thought, God has been so good. He has been so good and so faithful. And He puts us through things, or when we go through things, He shows up and He, because He wants us to tell people how good He is. And so this morning, part of what I'm going to tell you is that He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. But that's not even where I'm going. But that's where we went. But anyway, this morning, we're going to talk about walking with God. We're going to talk about walking with God, what that looks like, and how it can benefit us. Why it's so important to walk with God. And so we're going to start, if you have your Bibles, in Genesis. I really, really didn't want to have to wear these glasses, y'all, but that's why I wear them on my head. Because I have to wear them a lot. All right, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 5. And some of y'all are going to go, what are we going to look right here for? This is just the line, like, what? Lots of times we see this and we turn the page. It's like, so-and-so begot, so-and-so and begot, so-and-so and begot. It's important, y'all. And I'm going to explain to you why it's important. We're going to start chapter 5. Verse 21, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this word that you've given me today, Lord. But God, I pray that you would move me aside. Move me aside. Because God, you know my weaknesses. But Lord, I'm honored. I'm honored today. Because without you, God, this wouldn't be possible. And so, Lord, I move out of the way. Speak through me, Lord. Speak through me, God. Lord, I pray that you would open the ears of your people today, open their hearts, and just anoint this time that we have together, God. For it is in your name, your precious and holy name, that we pray. Amen. All right, so let's look back over just a few of these. I'm just going to highlight a few of the other verses in chapter 5, and I'm going to go to verse 5, thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 8, thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. 11, thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. 14, thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. 17, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Y'all see the pattern? And he died, and he died. Then we get down to 23, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If I keep going, we learn that Enoch was the father of Methuselah, who lived the longest on the earth, 969 years. And then Methuselah's grandson was Noah. Noah. So that puts in perspective the time frame that we're talking about when Enoch lived. It was not a time frame where everything was wonderful. The people were wicked. The culture was not living in a way that was pleasing to God. They were worshiping false gods. There was violence. There was oppression. There was all kinds of things that were hurting the heart of God. But there was Enoch that was walking with God no matter what the world was doing. There was Enoch who stayed faithful and pleased God no matter what everybody else was doing. In Hebrews, we see how Enoch was walking. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." He pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who diligently seek him. So today I want to talk to you about three things that walking with God, what will happen in our lives if we just walk after him. If we just walk after him. If we seek him wholeheartedly and diligently and want our lives to please him, we will have a life of faith, we will have a life of fellowship, and a life of fruitfulness. So let's break those down for just a minute. A life of faith, Romans 1:17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So whenever we first make the decision to follow after God, our faith begins. Faith is birthed within us. But when we walk after him and when we seek after him diligently, that faith grows. And it grows, and no matter what we're faced with, no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what's happening in our culture, we keep our eyes fixed on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our eyes are fixed on the one. The one. Now I'm going to tell you two stories, because I'm going to be real with you guys today. And I'm going to tell you that my whole life I have not walked with God. I have believed in God. My faith started in God when I was about 10 years old at my granny's church over in Warrenville. I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. I had head knowledge. I knew that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I understood that, but I didn't walk it out. I just knew it. Well, from about the age of 14 to 27, I didn't attend church. I still knew who Jesus was. But again, I didn't walk it out. I knew who Jesus was. I found myself about the age of 30, pregnant with my second child. I already had Taylor. She was 2. Everything in life was going great until I was about 10 weeks pregnant, and I noticed a lump in my throat. I went to my doctor. He sent me to a surgeon to have it biopsied, and the news came back, what no one wants to hear: you have cancer. You have to have this taken out within 2 weeks, and you're probably going to lose the baby. Those were the words that that surgeon told me on the phone while I was at work. It has to come out within 2 weeks, and you're probably going to lose the baby. Well, all during this time, if you'll remember, I knew God. I knew Jesus is my Savior. But I was not walking in faith. I went to Dr. Google. Let me advise you, don't do that. I went to Dr. Google, and during my pregnancy, let's back up for just a minute, we decided we were going to get a second opinion, first of all. Obviously, I didn't lose the baby because he's sitting right over there. We got a second opinion, and that second opinion said, no, we're not going to have surgery now. We're just going to monitor it and see how things go. Well, I want to tell you that throughout the entire pregnancy, I allowed the enemy to steal every single bit of joy that I should have had. Because I doubted. Because I wasn't going to the Word. I was going to Dr. Google instead. Throughout my whole pregnancy, I believed every lie. Every lie. The problems he was going to have. The deformations he was going to have. I had already pictured him. It was horrible. But it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. But I feel like so many of us, we accept Jesus as our Savior and we just sit there in that. We just sit there in that because we're not walking it out. We're not trusting and believing in God. Now let's fast forward to just a couple of months ago. I found myself in the emergency room with my mother. January the 12th. We were there because she had excruciating head and neck pain. She had battled an ear infection for 3 to 4 months. So we thought this head and neck pain was coming from that. Well, as we sat there, the doctors did a CT scan and they came back in and they said, with doom and gloom, y'all, on their faces. And they said, you're suffering from a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is a brain bleed. That's caused by head trauma, being hit hard on the head, falling and hitting your head, or from an aneurysm. Well, she had neither of those. But while every nurse came in and they would say, are you okay? Do you need anything? Can I do anything for y'all? You know how I felt? Not like I did when my faith was small. Because for 22 years, since God gave me that healthy baby boy, I've been walking it out. I have been walking it out. And as she lay there for 10 days, we called on God. We called on the Holy Spirit. You know why we called on the Holy Spirit? Because I know Jehovah Rapha. I know that he is my healer. I know that by his stripes we are healed. But before I didn't know that. Because I had not been exercising. I had not been walking it out. See guys, walking is an action. It's an action. It's something we have to do. We can't just let the preacher do it all. We can't just show up on Sunday morning and go live Monday forgetting everything that he told us. We got to walk this thing out. We got to walk this thing out. So the second thing I want us to talk about is a life of fellowship. A life of fellowship. Fellowship is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and we've done a lot of it this weekend. And it's been great. It's been great coming back home and just being able to fellowship with my sisters in Christ that I haven't seen in such a long time. Y'all been so great. But a life of fellowship, what does that look like? What does that look like for us? Like I said, walking is an action. It's something that we have to intentionally decide to do. It is a choice that we have to make. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, Paul's letter to Timothy says this, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." He doesn't say, "I know of." He doesn't say, "I've heard of." He says, "I know him. I know him." Friends, we're not going to know him if we're not fellowshipping with him. We will not. For 15 years, I knew of him. But for the last 22 years, I can say that I know him. I know him. Sometimes the Lord will use what the enemy meant for bad for good, won't he? Yeah. He will. But we have a choice again. We can look to him. We can look to him, the one that gave us that gift. Even though the enemy lied to me the entire pregnancy, he gave me that gift. Or we can decide, you know what? I'm mad. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. I think of Peter and John after they were at the temple and they healed that lame man that had been lame since birth. And the council noticed about them in Acts 4. Verse 13, they said, they noticed that they were bold. They were untrained and unskilled. They noticed that also. But here's what they also noticed, that they had been with Jesus. I hope whenever trouble comes my way, that's what people say. I can tell she's been with Jesus. She don't act like anybody else. I don't care if they ask me, "How are you so happy? How are you okay?" Because the answer is, I trust in God. I trust in the one. There's only one way I can know that. I have fellowship with him. I have fellowship with him. I know him. I know he's the lifter of my head. I know that no matter what the enemy throws at me, God's got me. And it's not just me, he's got you. And I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that. Walking. Sometimes whenever we say we're fellowshipping with the Lord, I think some of us are walking with our AirPods in. I don't understand why God's not talking to me. I've been praying. But you got your AirPods in. You're listening to the world or you're listening to something else. You're not being still long enough to let God talk to you. Be still and know. Be still and know. Fellowship. True fellowship. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. So when trouble comes, you know who to call on. oftentimes whenever I don't know what to say anymore, I play a song in my head. Just play a song in my head. Because so many times, and that's why I knew this morning, whenever I Trust in God was played, I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. Because there have been so many times, and I think back and I think, oh God, you've been so faithful to me. Been so faithful to me. Let's talk for just a minute about fruitfulness. Because I have not always lived a life of fruitfulness. Those kind words that Kathy said. Love wasn't on the top of the list of qualifications or description words that people would say about me years ago. But it's not anything that I've done. It's all God. Every single bit of it. Yesterday, Beth gave us a great word on keeping your joy. And it was a great word. But I'm going to tell you, if you abide in the Lord, if you abide in the Lord, and let's read that verse together, John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. Friends, branches are no good without the vine. We are nothing, and that's exactly what this verse says. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But this my Father is, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. See, God wants nothing more than for us to bear much fruit. And when we abide in him, abide means to dwell, to settle in, to soak in. Can't you just picture that? Just see, just nestled up under God's arm. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us snuggled up. And as a parent, where do you want your children? Right here, right? So many times I think about my relationship with God like my children and me and what I desire of them. And I think, you know, nothing makes me happier than for them to want to hug me, than for them to say, I love you, Mama. Or for them to say, thank you, Mama. And I know God is the same way. Nothing makes him happier than for us to communicate with him. All in kids' church, whenever I see those little babies and they just lift their arms up, like, pick me up. It just does my heart good. And I know one day the Lord's going to give me some grandbabies that are going to walk up and go, Kiki! And it's going to do my heart good. That's his desire. Is for us to just reach up. Say, I love you, Lord. But I can guarantee if you don't know him, that's not going to be something that you're going to say. But that's his desire for you. The fruits of the Spirit are going to grow within you the more time you spend with the Lord. Peace with Corley and my pregnancy did not exist. There was none. Peace when my mom laid in the neuro ICU for 10 days. With a brain drain, not knowing what the outcome was going to be by the way the doctors talked, as PT came in there to get her up, she came home with a walker. There was peace. There was peace. Because all these years I have been talking to God. I feel like this morning the message that the Lord doesn't want you to miss out on. He does not want a surface level relationship with you. He does not want that. He does not want you to walk in here and just check church off. He does not want you to have that Bible plan, but you're busy. It's just playing in the background. Click it. I read it. He does not want a surface level relationship with you. When I came in here the first night and they sang that song, Deep Dive, it was confirmation for me. This is the word the Lord has for us today. He does not want a surface level relationship with you. He is saying, get up, dust off those walking shoes. Dust them off, put them on. Let's go. Let's go. I've got better plans for you. I have better plans for you. Guys, let me tell you, sometimes when we're walking this thing out, this is to those of us that have been walking this thing out. Life happens. Hiccups come. Distractions come, and they're not always bad. Sometimes you can have a distraction of a new job. Gets you busy. A new home. Gets you busy. A new baby. Oh, the joy of the new baby. But gets you busy. Maybe your kids just got on a new sport team. Gets us busy. Life happens, friends. But in the busy, our walk with God cannot falter. Our walk with God has to be such a habit, just like the air we breathe. It has to be such a habit that no matter where we go, He is sitting right there with us and we are having communication with Him. The word says that Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God. You want to know how to please God? You walk with Him. You keep His word. You let your faith grow in your trust for Him. You want to know what's pleasing to God? You live this thing out no matter where you go. You say, but Kim, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But He does. And He cares. We gotta live this thing out. We gotta live this thing out, guys. You have to be intentional. Seek after Him with your whole heart. When you get distracted, put your shoes back on. Put your shoes back on. Get back out there. Because when you're distracted and you're not in the Word, you're not talking to God, that's a playground for the enemy. And he is going to bring all those temptations that you've battled, he's going to bring them right back up to you. Because he knows what your weaknesses are. He knows every one of us and he knows our weakness. But when my heart and mind is aligned with the Word of God, and I'm focused, He's the one that matters. Not what that coworker thinks. Not what your neighbor thinks. Oftentimes I feel like we're in the business of entertaining everybody else but the Lord. We're in the business of wondering what everybody else thinks about me. Let's worry about what God thinks about me. Let's think about that. We got to grow deeper, friends. We have a merciful God, but I have to tell you that Methuselah is the longest living person on earth. He lived 969 years. Methuselah's name meant that when he dies, destruction's coming. God was merciful. For 969 years, he wanted his people to turn back to him. When Methuselah died, the flood came. Noah was on that boat because Noah walked with God. How many of you would like to say, my children, walk with God because I walk with God? That's what we can learn from Enoch. Noah was his great-grandson. Let it be an example to us. Let it be an example to us.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.